About a month ago, we finished our sermon series through Genesis, and then we spent a couple weeks looking at church membership, and then we spent a couple weeks thinking about Advent. Next week, we're starting the book of James, and we're going to go through that together. And someone just commented to me, oh good, I'm ready for us to get back to a series through a book of the Bible. So I'm ready for it too. I hope you are. The average lifespan for people today is about 74 years. That's 27,000 days, 39 million minutes, 2 billion heartbeats. Have you ever considered how all of your time adds up? Where does all your time go? Well, there are people who have actually calculated the answer to that question for us. When you add up all the time that a person spends over 74 years, on average, a person who lives in the U.S. will spend 20 years sleeping, 20 years working, 3 years in meetings, 7 years playing, 7 years in the bathroom, 6 years eating, 5 years dressing, 5 years waiting in line, 5 years on the internet, 3 years watching TV, 3 years waiting for someone, 1 year on phone calls, another year on texting, 8 months opening junk mail, probably junk email adds up too, but that's not listed, 6 months sitting at red lights. Now that adds up to more than 74 years because oftentimes people do 2 of those things at the same time, like dressing and watching TV or eating and talking or waiting for someone and surfing the web. Hopefully not driving in most of those things. Well, have you ever considered how your time gets spent? Consider the past year. Where has your time gone? Where have you invested your hours? Do you wish you could have any of those hours back? Maybe some of those hours were spent in sin. Maybe some of those hours were spent foolishly or wastefully. Or maybe some of those hours were spent on things you just couldn't control, like changing a flat tire. But hopefully some of your hours were also spent well. Some of those hours you wouldn't trade for anything. Time spent with family and friends, time with your husband or wife, time in God's word, time in worship. Many of your hours were invested in things of eternal benefit. Well, here we are, coming to the end of another year. 2014 is just about in the books. 2015 is about to begin. As we head into a new year, I thought it would be a good idea to consider how we use our time. How do we spend our time? This morning, we're going to look at a passage from the book of Ephesians that challenges us to be wise about our use of time. Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. This is a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And we're going to read the first 21 verses, but we're just going to focus on a couple of them. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be drunk. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This morning, we're going to set our focus on verses 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. I like how the King James Version translates verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The theme of verses 15 and 16, the title of the sermon, is redeem the time. Redeem the time. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we rejoice to be called your children. You're a God who is great and powerful and awesome and full of splendor. We do not deserve to see your greatness. We don't deserve to know you. We don't deserve to be called your children. What we do deserve is your judgment against sin, because we are people who fall far short of your standard. We do not meet the perfect righteousness that you demand of your people. So, Lord, we thank you that you have given us, through your Son, you have given us the very righteousness that belongs to you. So, Lord, help us this morning as we look at your word, to understand your word, to apply it to our hearts, to live it. Lord, may we glorify you and worship you in spirit and in truth with the glory that is due your name. Amen. The first heading for today is the same as the overall theme, redeem the time. Redeem the time. What do we mean by redeeming the time? We'll read verse 15 with me again. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. When verse 15 says to look carefully how you walk, it is not talking about your stride. It's not talking about your gait, the way you walk and take steps. When it says to walk carefully, it doesn't mean to be careful where you set your feet. Walking is a metaphor for living life. Be careful how you live. As the children of God, we should be careful how we live our lives. So the first point is, be careful how you live. This is the imperative verb in our sentence, be careful how you live. Be thoughtful and considerate about your life. Examine yourself. Examine your life. And notice the word then. Look carefully then how you walk. The author is referring back to what has been written before. He's saying, based on what I have been saying, therefore, be careful how you live. Because of all these things I've been telling you, be careful. We'll go back in a minute and see what he has been saying. But here's the point. Based on what's been said, be careful how you live. Second point, do not live unwisely, but wisely. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Live carefully, not unwisely, but wisely. Do not live unwisely, but wisely. Well, what does it mean by wise versus unwise, or wise versus foolish? Being wise represents both knowing what is right and acting according to that knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge plus performance. Wisdom is discernment in action. On the other hand, that which is foolish or unwise is the opposite of wisdom. And one of the foremost tasks of parenting is to teach your children wisdom. Right? You teach your child it is foolish to put your finger or a piece of metal into an electric outlet. Right? On the other hand, it is wise not to put your finger into an electric outlet. It's foolish to run or walk while looking in a different direction than the direction you're running. And yet most children, when they're learning to run, are not looking in the direction they're running. It's something they have to be taught. Well, wisdom versus foolishness is not exactly the same thing as right versus wrong, but there are connection points. A person can morally act in foolish ways. It is not immoral to eat raw chicken, but it is foolish. It's not immoral to dive into shallow water, but it is foolish. But the more mature a person is, the more wisdom a person has, the more they will act in ways that are both wise and right. Because a wise person sees danger and hides himself from it. A wise person flees from temptation to sin. A biblically wise person will choose righteousness. So wisdom and morality or righteousness are not the same, but they are connected. And Paul, the author of Ephesians, wants his readers not to act unwisely, but instead to act wisely. Of course, the next question is, well, how do we distinguish between what is wise and what is unwise? Well, certainly studying the writings of wise men and women helps us distinguish wisdom from foolishness. In the Old Testament, there are several books known as wisdom literature. We have Job, in the life of Job. We have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. And the purpose of these books is to give wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs specifically says it's designed to help young people become wise. Also, spending time with wise people helps us recognize wisdom, whereas spending time with foolish people will cause us to be foolish like them. Proverbs 13:20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." But fundamentally, wisdom comes from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The book of James tells us the one who lacks wisdom should ask God for wisdom, and it will be granted to him. Wisdom comes from God. So to be wise, ask God for wisdom, study God's word, study wise writing, and spend time with wise people. We need to pursue wisdom so we can live wisely rather than unwisely. And now we come to the phrase we're focusing on this morning. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So live carefully and wisely, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Well, most modern translations use a phrase similar to making the best use of the time. Other translations are making the most of the time, making the most of every opportunity, making the best use of time. It's coming from a Greek word that was actually used for purchasing a slave, redeeming a slave. It's in that same sense used in Galatians 3 of Christ redeeming his people. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ redeemed us from slavery to sin. When Christ redeemed us, he made us his own to be used for his purposes. And this is why the King James Version translates the word as redeeming, redeeming the time. But to redeem the time means to make time your own and use it for appropriate purposes, which you could translate as making the best use of the time, making the most of the time. Well, as Christians, we should be redeeming the time. We should be putting time to its best use. Live carefully and wisely, redeeming the time. From our text, there are two broad categories of how we can redeem the time. The first is negative. Do not spend time on sinful or foolish living. And the second is positive. Spend time pursuing wise and godly living. First, do not spend time on sinful or foolish living. In verses 3 through 14, various sins are condemned. Christians are challenged not to live in sin, not to spend time in sin. Verse 3, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. So do not spend your time engaging in sexual immorality. Sexual immorality can destroy you. It can destroy everyone you love. How many lives have been destroyed in our world by sexual immorality? So flee from sexual immorality. Do not spend your time in impurity, in that which would stain us. Do not waste your time on thoughts and actions that are impure. Do not spend your time coveting what others have. We ought to be thankful for what God has given to us, and we should rejoice with others in what God has given to them. In fact, Paul says here that covetousness is the same as idolatry. We can waste so much time coveting that which doesn't belong to us. I wish I had that job or that house, or I wish I had that much money or that much free time. I wish I had those clothes, or I wish I had that spouse, or I wish I had whatever is attractive to you that you don't have. Do not waste your time coveting. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Watch the way you talk. Do not speak in ways that are unfitting for a Christian. Instead, we must speak in ways that encourage others and build them up. We must speak in ways that glorify God and bring him honor. The words of a Christian should match our position as ambassadors of the Most High God. Don't spend your time on speech that is inappropriate. Verse 5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Scripture is clear that those who love God will put off evil and pursue righteousness. And those who live in unrepentant sin have no place in the kingdom of God. And so as Christians, we must repent of our sin, turn from our sin, and instead seek after God. Give no time to sinful or foolish attitudes and actions. Verse 7, therefore do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Do not be partners with evil. Have no part in darkness. It's shameful to even speak of the things that are done in this world, let alone for us to consider participating in them. Do not spend any time on sinful living. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine. It doesn't say not to drink wine, but it does say do not get drunk with wine. When I was in college, some friends were discussing Christians and alcohol and getting drunk, and one person who was defending the use of alcohol basically said, if you drink, you know at some point you're going to get drunk, and that's okay. That isn't what God's word says. God commands his people not to get drunk. If your drinking means sometimes you get drunk, you should quit drinking. God tells us to flee from temptation. And that would be an example of spending time foolishly, doing things that you know may not be inherently sinful, but are going to lead you into sin eventually. So how do we redeem the time? Redeem the time by making the best use of it. Do not spend time on foolishness, but pursue the will of the Lord. Do not spend your time on foolish endeavors. Do not spend your time in sin. Before we move on to the second point, I just want us to think about how this applies to our own lives. We're being careful about how to live, and we should not spend time on sinful or foolish living. What does that look like or not look like? Well, what we should do is to examine our lives. Examine ourselves. Consider whether or not we are, in fact, spending our time in sinful and foolish living. All right, we all have struggles with sin. We all have temptations. What are the sins that you struggle with? What are the temptations that you regularly face? And what are you going to do about them? So take some time today, this week, and look at the sins that you face and figure out how to arrange your life such that you do not spend time in those sins or in temptations to those sins, but instead pursue righteousness. We also need to examine where we spend time foolishly. There are so many ways to spend time foolishly in our world today. From activities that just waste time to activities that actually contribute to us falling into sin, there are many kinds of foolish time. Anything that you do that contributes to your sin should be set aside. If we spend time on activities that we know cause us to sin, we should quit those activities immediately. Flee from temptation. Run from sin. But a lot of our foolish activities are simply activities that waste time. And we don't have a lot of time on this earth, and so we shouldn't use up all of our time on activities that have no lasting value. And if we examined how much of our time went to some activities, we would probably spend more time on profitable things. Remember earlier I shared how many years of our life were spent sleeping or working or playing? Imagine adding up all the time you spend on a particular activity and then ask yourself, is that activity really worth it? Let's say that you spend 1 hour a day on an activity, any given activity, whatever that may be. If you live 72 years, that's a little less than the average. If you live 72 years, you spend 1 hour a day on any particular activity. That 1 hour a day added up over your life is 3 years of your life. 1 hour a day, actually, in the end of your life, represents 3 years of your life, which means 20 minutes a day represents 1 year of your life in total. And sometimes I tell myself, well, it's just 20 minutes, right? I mean, I could, you know, it's not that big a deal. But when we add that all up, that's a year of my life. Is that activity worth 1 year of your life? At the end of your life, will you be glad that you spent 1 year doing that activity? Don't waste your life on foolish activities. Let me give one other category of spending time foolishly. And that's spending more time on something than it is worth. We can take good things and treat them as more worthy of time than they really are. Right? This is the perfectionist who spends 100 hours on a 10-hour project because it has to be perfect. Work is a good thing. It is a gift from God, but we can spend more time on work than it deserves. All right, we're to work heartily as to the Lord and not to men, but that doesn't mean that every hour of our life should be spent working. When you're on your deathbed, you won't be saying, I wish I had spent one more hour at the office. I wish I had spent one more year of my life working. Sports and fitness can be really valuable and helpful, but people will spend hours and hours a day or week to have the perfect body. And the older you get, the less possible it is to have the perfect body. And when you die, it won't matter how perfect your figure is. All bodies look the same in the grave. Green grass, that's what they look like. You can tell I spend way too much time exercising. Keeping up with the news can be a really good and valuable thing, but we can waste time on it if it becomes too important. Protecting your friends on Facebook from ignorance can be a very valuable thing, but it can also be a waste of time. Redeem the time. Do not spend time on sinful or foolish living. Second point, spend time pursuing wise and godly living. Spend time pursuing wise and godly living. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So instead of living in sin and foolishness, be imitators of God. Live consistently with the character of God. Right, to imitate God is to act consistently with God's character and attributes, to live as image bearers of God, to live in a manner that most accurately represents God himself. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Love others as Christ has loved his people. Offer yourself up in self-sacrifice and service. Spend your time in godly living. Look at verse 7. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We are children of light, children of the living God. So walk like you are a child of the light. Walk consistently with your position as a child of the living God. So pursue that which is good and right and true. Seek to please God in all you do. Look with me down to verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Live carefully. Be thoughtful. Walk not as unwise, but as wise. Instead of getting drunk, be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit, sing praise. Notice this in verse 19. When we sing praises, we are not only addressing God. We are addressing one another. Our singing is a proclamation to other people that God is great and glorious. Verse 20, give thanks always and for all things to God the Father. Whatever happens, thank God. When good comes our way, thank God. When trials come our way, thank God. And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus that we can thank the Father for all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the reason we can thank God the Father. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another, and as Christians, we submit to one another. The rest of this chapter and the beginning of chapter 6 explain what that mutual submission should look like. So instead of wasting our lives in foolish living and sinful living, we should redeem the time by spending our time in godly and wise living. Our time should be focused on wisdom and godliness. We have a very limited time on this earth, and so we should spend it carefully. Even Jesus was careful to accomplish his Father's purposes in the time the Father had given him. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. There's a time coming when our works will come to an end, when our life will be over, and so we should spend our time while we have it on productive things. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. Remember that our time is limited. We should spend our time in wise and godly living. Just as we examined whether we were spending our time in foolish and sinful living, we can also examine whether we are spending our time in godly and wise living. Look carefully how you walk. Examine yourself. Spend some time this week examining your life. Do you spend your time doing what is right? Are you living in a way that pleases God, that is consistent with his character? Are you walking in the love of Christ? Are you loving God with all your being and loving your neighbor as yourself? Is your time spent seeking to glorify God? Do you live in light of eternity? We can spend so much of our time on things that have no lasting value. Is your time weighted towards activities that have eternal significance? Are you pursuing the advancement of God's kingdom? Are you seeking to be wise? Is your time spent sharing the gospel? Are you training yourself to share truth with others? We need to live carefully. Be thoughtful about your life and about your time. We should seek to make the best use of our time. Let me just give us a couple cautions as we close. There are a few possible unhelpful reactions to a message like this. Sometimes people can respond by deciding that not one second of time should be spent on anything that cannot be directly tied to eternity. I shouldn't waste time eating or sleeping or playing sports or anything like that unless it's about the gospel. That's not what the passage says or what it means. God designed us as people who need rest. Your body needs rest. Jesus rested. People who do not have enough downtime eventually break. Your body breaks down, you get sick, you get tired, you have a heart attack. Rest is an important part of our lives. And examining our time should not mean that we have no time for rest. Examining our time means that we don't spend more time on rest than we ought to spend. Right, God created this world for us to enjoy. God is the one who made food enjoyable to eat, who gave us pleasure in an active life. Examining our time doesn't mean we remove every activity that brings us pleasure. Instead, it means we have an appropriate amount of time spent on pleasure. Somewhere between no time and all of our time is the right answer. And you can only come to that answer yourself by examining your life. There's an opposite response to this, which is to basically say that examining our time cannot be done. Right? God doesn't say how many minutes to spend reading the Bible, or how many minutes to spend praying or sharing or serving or resting. In fact, they didn't even measure minutes in that time. So there's no way to know how much time is valuable. So I'm just not even going to worry about it. But just because there's not an exact number, a precise amount of time, doesn't mean we cannot wisely consider whether we're using our time in godly ways. This passage commands us to look carefully about how we live and spend our time. It says to redeem the time. So there is a right way to examine time, and we should do it. There's a third response, and this is probably the most dangerous. And the third response is to tell yourself you are going to pursue righteousness through your use of time. So you set up a list of rules. 1 hour a day in God's word, 2 hours a day in prayer, 3 hours a day sharing the gospel, 5 minutes eating, 3 hours sleeping. And you go about your day and you check off your list and you think you're making yourself right with God. But any serious self-examination will reveal to us that we are not making ourselves right with God. If we look carefully at our lives, what we'll see is we're not meeting the mark. We're not matching God's standard. We don't measure up to the perfection that God requires of us. Right, when I look back at my past year, there are things that I am very thankful I spent time and that God allowed me to do. But there are some activities that I'm ashamed at how much time I spent on them. If your self-examination makes you feel self-righteous, you have misjudged and misunderstood. As we examine ourselves, what we should see is we cannot please God on our own. We need someone to rescue us. We need someone to redeem us. We need someone who always did what was right, who always used his time in ways that pleased the Father, who accomplished God's purpose for us on our behalf. We need someone who would be perfect for us when we fail. We need someone who would give us his own righteousness as a gift. We need Jesus. Every hour, every moment, we need the one who took our sin in his body on the tree so that we could die to sin and live to righteousness. So look carefully how you live and redeem your time. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, he has already given you his righteousness. He has already won the victory that you are trying to win. For everyone who trusts in him, Jesus has conquered sin. That's why we celebrate the table of the Lord. It's a visible reminder that Jesus Christ came and died so that we could have life. It's a reminder that Jesus gave us a new covenant in his blood that was shed for us. So if you are a Christian, if you have believed in Jesus as your Savior, we welcome you to come and to participate with us as we remember the Lord's death till he returns. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we live in a world bound by time. We know that our time on this earth is precious and short. And so as you command, may we redeem the time. May we use our time not in foolishness and not in sin, but in wisdom and in righteousness. May we spend our time on things which glorify and honor you, which are consistent with your character and your greatness. Lord, we look forward to the day when we will one day be with you in eternity. We'll no longer be bound by time. We'll no longer have bodies that struggle with sin and temptation. Our hearts will be perfectly in tune with your will and your righteousness. And we know that only happens, that only will happen because of the work that Jesus has already done. He has accomplished salvation for everyone who trusts in him. And so, Lord, we praise you because you're a God of grace and mercy. You've forgiven sinners like us who do not deserve it. Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to live lives that are worthy of what Christ has done for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.